Here's a special message from Briggs & Riley to every last-minute luggage packer. To those who hate packing around those annoying grooves in the bottom of your suitcase. To the challengers who try to cram a myriad of toothpaste, hairbrushes, and travel-sized shampoo bottles into the outer pockets. Many luggage has tried, and many have failed to accommodate the whim of the overzealous overpacker. Now there is a true sophisticated challenger. Briggs & Riley's perfect packing solution offers several casual, sophisticated collections that reflect the way we live and travel today. Their iconic outsider handle provides optimal capacity and flat packing inside. And only Briggs & Riley luggage has CX compression expansion technology, which increases capacity in the same size suitcase. The premium extra-wide garment panels help create additional compression to prevent shifting and wrinkling, so you can add more in a smaller space. And to the luggage handler who's extra hard on your luggage, Briggs & Riley will repair your luggage free of charge. No proof of purchase necessary. Clothes waiters and careless carriers, your match has been met. Visit Briggs-Riley.com for Briggs & Riley luggage.
Hey there, dog lovers. It's time to show your furry friend a little extra love and attention. After all, they're not just pets, they're family. At GetJoy, we provide top-of-the-line nutrition and wellness services to improve the lives of dogs and their families. GetJoy's dedicated team of animal science and vet nutritionists have expertly crafted their recipes to give your pup maximum health benefits. With options like gently cooked fresh meals, freeze-dried meals with pre, pro, and postbiotics for optimal gut health, and single-ingredient beef treats. Your best friend just got upgraded to a whole new level of pampering. And the best part? GetJoy's meals are made with wholesome ingredients right here in the USA with no fillers or artificial preservatives. Plus, when you subscribe to a GetJoy food plan, you'll be connected with a board-certified televet with services available 24/7. As a special offer to our listeners, visit GetJoyFood.com and use the code PODCAST at checkout to get a 50% off your first order today. That's GetJoyFood.com and use the code PODCAST at checkout to get 50% off your first order.
All righty, hour number four of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. You will hear from a conversation that we had earlier with Giants general manager in his second season with that title, Joe Schoen, coming up 40 minutes from now as we continue to preview the football season. And coming up in a month, it's going to be opening night where we will see the defending Super Bowl champions and the Kansas City Chiefs open up their season against the Detroit Lions. Today is August 7th, and that game comes your way on September 7th, so I can't wait. You know, I love summer. I really do, because also, selfishly, I get a lot of vacation time, because I don't like to take off a lot during college football season and the NFL season. And then once you see kind of the NBA go away with the playoffs that unfold, you have a little bit of gap in the summer until the start of the football season. That's why, you know, I'm out a lot, because that's when I try to take my vacation, because I don't want to do, like, in my mind, a disservice to the listeners of this show when you have a big college football weekend or a big NFL weekend and I'm not here. Sometimes that happens. And then also a lot of shows that are on before me, they take vacation as well. So, like, for example, Thursday and Friday of this week, I'm out. And on this show. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not working. Sometimes, you know, Thursday and Friday, I'm out on the golf course in the summer or down on the Jersey Shore at the beach, enjoying some delicious veal parm from Chef Vola's or a little White House cheesesteak sub, and I'm at the beach, and yeah, I'm enjoying some rest and relaxation. But at the end of the week, you can catch me Thursday and Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 p.m. Pacific, as will be Maggie Gray and yours truly with Perloff on some vacation. And then next week, I had two scheduled vacation days on Wednesday and Friday, as I will be at the Bruce Springsteen concert in Philly on Wednesday, and then Friday I'm off to the Jersey Shore, and I don't think this is official yet, but I believe I'm in for Maggie and Perloff for the three other days that week. So the schedules change a lot. We appreciate you listening to all of us on CBS Sports Radio in the morning with DA, then Bill Ryder, then the legendary Jim Rome, Maggie and Perloff, yours truly, JR and Amy, and all the weekend guys and girls as well, and then all the fill-ins too. So we always appreciate you taking some time for us. But I always say this, in the summer, it gets a little bit chaotic in radio, and you need a depth chart to figure out who's going to be in the lineup, but after Labor Day, that's full go, where I actually work, not that I'm playing a small violin here, but 6 days a week, because I do that 8-hour Ion Football marathon as well, where we take you from game to game. And, you know, it's the radio version, I like to say, kind of Red Zone, where we don't always get you right in the red zone, but we're keeping you updated all throughout the day with an hour of preview and then the 7 hours of in-game action before you have Sunday Night Football. But even my love for summer, as I was saying where I started this segment, I'm at the point now where it's okay. It's August 7th, and I always love August, right? It's my birthday as well, coming up in 2 days on Wednesday on August 9th, and it's always fun because it doesn't matter what the year is. People just like to celebrate your birthday and all that stuff, and you go out for some dinners or you have some drinks with some people and all that jazz. But I'm at a point right now where I'm like, let's just fast forward August. And let's fast forward through Labor Day weekend. And I know college football already be back, but get me to that first Thursday in the NFL season where we get the Detroit Lions and the Chiefs. And then we really get all the chaos to ensue all the way through New Year's and then through February with the concluding in Las Vegas with the Super Bowl for this upcoming year. So I can't wait for that. So I'm at the point where I love summer, but I'm ready to say goodbye to summer, even though the weather goes away, and I'm ready full go to football season. Anyway, we do this every Monday and Friday on the show. 5 questions, 5 answers. Let's get to a little onsides, offside. Chris Hess, hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Alrighty, Chris Hess. Filling in for the hot take kicky. What do you got for me today, pal?
We're going to kick it off here. Number one, CBS host Adam Schein said Jordan Love can't play football. Onsides or offsides? You agree with Adam's assessment of Love.
Now, I'll sound like Adam Schein here. Adam Schein is my guy. He calls everyone my guy. But I do like Adam Schein. He was very kind to me when I briefly worked at Sirius with Mad Dog Sports Radio and also Sirius XM NFL Radio. And, you know, us being CBS Sports Radio, we see him each and every year at the Super Bowl when he does his Time to Shine show on CBS Sports Network. So I am a fan of Adam Schein, and I've known him for years. But I don't understand, as Chris Hess just snorts into the microphone. Can we have some respect here on this show, please? But I don't get how you could say right now that Jordan Love can't play football. I don't know what Jordan Love is, where a lot of people didn't think he would be a first-round pick, and then the Packers traded up to go get him, and we know all the mayhem that ensued after that with Aaron Rodgers. But here's what I do know about Jordan Love. We've only seen him really twice on a football field. And in a quarter up against Philadelphia, Darius Slay praised him like no other. The game against Kansas City, he wasn't ready. But he's now been in that system and been with that team for 3 years, and now it's going to be year number four. We're going to find out if Jordan Love could play football this year. The thing I respect about Jordan Love is the way that he handled the tough situation with Aaron Rodgers, but I think it's way too premature to really say that he can or can't play football and say that you know either way. So when you ask me the question, do I agree with Adam's assessment of Love that he can't play football? I don't think it's safe to make that definitive statement right now, because no one really knows. We'll find out at the end of the year, and we'll have that idea, and that's how you judge success this season with the Packers. Not really wins and losses. I'd say they're relevant this year, but it's, do you feel like Love can be that guy? So you ask me that question, do I agree with Adam's assessment of Love right now? I will go offside.
Offside.
Next question, number two.
Number two. While talking to the NFL Network, Bengals star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase revealed that he told Joe Burrow that he should not play in week one. Burrow suffered a calf strain on July 27th. Onsides or offsides, Joe Burrow should not play week one against the Browns.
So here's what I'll say on this. If Joe Burrow is not fully healthy and he does not feel good, I would not play him. But right now, it's like the same thing with the Jordan Love. We don't know what the status of Burrow is going to be. And you would think from July 27th to their first game on September 10th, he'd be able to get healed and feel like he's in a good spot. But to say right now, and I get it, Ja'Marr Chase is kind of trying to take the pressure off Joe because you know how hardworking Joe Burrow is going to be to get back on the field and how close they are going back to their days at LSU. But until I know what percentage of health Joe Burrow's at, I'm not going to say that he shouldn't play week one against the Browns. If you tell me Zach, he's at 75% health, yeah, he shouldn't play. But with it looking like he could be 100% by week one, I'm not going to sit here and say that he shouldn't play right now. So I will go offside on that one.
Offside.
Number three, what do we got here, Chris?
Carson Wentz held a workout for himself and later posted pictures.
Carson Wentz? Ugh, yikes. Can't stand that guy. Pete, you disgusting. A guy that I used to really like, and then all of a sudden I learned that he was an absolute fraud as a football player and also the way that he conducted himself in that locker room. But go ahead if you must.
Later posted pictures of himself on Twitter in an Eagles helmet, Commander's jersey, and Colts shorts. Huh. So he's got the whole trio going. Onsides or offsides, Carson Wentz will be on an NFL roster by week one.
Carson Wentz may get picked up by a team in season, but it's not going to be by week one. And I think what Carson Wentz is learning here is that he still views himself as a starter, but the rest of the league doesn't anymore. And this was a guy, right, before Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes, the way we talk about Mahomes now, and it's different because he won Super Bowls, but in that one year where Wentz looked like he was going to win the MVP if he didn't get hurt up against the Rams, where he tears the ACL and filter a touchdown pass after that, he had some Mahomes-like plays before he even knew about Mahomes in the NFL. But ever since then, he hasn't been healthy and also very insecure in the locker room, like was freaking out about Nick Foles, and he kept on getting opportunities, and he kept on turning over the football and not playing well. You know, he stunk with the Colts in a big spot. And then the Commanders go, oh, yeah, we'll bail out the Colts and trade for him. It made no sense. But the way that he couldn't handle, and I know Foles won a Super Bowl and it's never been done before in Philadelphia, but the way that he kind of didn't have the best relationships with his teammates in Philadelphia at the end, if you're going to be a backup, you got to be okay with that role. I'm not saying anyone should enjoy being a backup, but you got to know how to handle that role. And I don't know if Wentz is mature enough to handle that role. So I think now what you're seeing is a lot of teams agree with that, and also they can't trust the guy to be healthy. And you know how many chances teams give quarterbacks in this league if they think they could play. So Wentz may be starting to realize, or hope he realizes, like, you're getting humbled this offseason because no one has signed you yet. But for him to get signed the next 30 or so days, yeah, I'm not buying that one. Maybe at one point during the season because injuries happen and you get desperate for a quarterback, but I'm not trusting that guy to start off a season, even in a backup role. So I would go offside.
Offside.
3 for 3 so far in the offside department. We'll see if we get the clean sweep today. That usually never happens. Go ahead.
Number four. Well, it's kind of fitting now. The Pac-12 is on the verge of being no more.
Yeah,
as Washington,
right?
Oregon, USC, UCLA will join the Big Ten in 2024. And Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State are off to the Big 12. John Canzano is reporting that Oregon State, Cal, Stanford, and Washington State's plan isn't to merge with another conference, but add more schools. Oh, boy. Zach, onsides or offsides, the Pac-12 will be able to add enough schools to save the conference.
Well, and I know that this report was last week, I believe. And since then, right, you've seen Cal and then Stanford, right? There'd be some interest shown by the ACC, and we'll see if that ends up happening. If the remaining Pac-12 schools say to themselves, yeah, we got to go pluck the teams from the Mountain West and join with the Mountain West, I don't get that. Or add more schools to the Mountain West. Like, at this point, you had two very similar conferences, the Big 12 and the Pac-12, where their major players, Texas and Oklahoma, and USC and UCLA, were leaving. And since then, the Big 12 was able to add schools and survive. The Pac-12, all they've done since, has lost schools. You got to operate on your own here. And that's what Washington, Oregon, for the most part, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah did. So if I am those other Pac-12 schools, just go to whoever will take you at this point, because there's no future with the Pac-12. So you said that onsides or offside, the Pac-12 will be able to add enough schools to save the conference. I think this is the death of the Pac-12. And it's crazy. It's really... It wasn't UCLA and USC leaving, which was the death of the Pac-12, the cause of the death. Once Colorado left, and Colorado's not really desirable, and I know it's different now with Deion Sanders, but they did nothing. in the Pac-12. And for them to go back to the Big 12, it kind of sent the message to all the other conferences. Guys, Colorado's even saying they don't believe in the Pac-12 anymore. And the other schools did follow. So I will go offside on that one.
Offside.
Go ahead.
Number five, the coaches poll of 2023, the first one, is out, and the top four teams are Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Ohio State, with LSU and USC on the outside looking in. Zach, onside or offside? These are the four best teams in college football entering the 2023 season.
I'm going offside on this one, and here's why. Because you mentioned this school, but they were outside of the top four. Georgia being one, no problem with. Michigan being two, no problem with. LSU has a really talented quarterback, and they may have the best defensive player in the conference. Alabama lost their really talented quarterback and a guy that was one of the better defensive players in the conference in Will Anderson. You had Bryce Young go one in the draft and Will Anderson go three. He was the first defensive player taken in the draft. I know we always give Saban the benefit of the doubt, and I usually always do that. But in this case, I like LSU more heading into this season than Alabama, and also slightly more than Ohio State. So 1, 2, 3, 4 in the coaches poll was Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Ohio State. I think LSU has to be in that top four, and I like what Brian Kelly's doing with the LSU Tigers, and I'm still always feeling like I need to say, go Tigers, in honor of Ed Orgeron when talking about the LSU Tigers. So I do not think those are the four best teams in college football entering the 2023 season, so I will go offside.
Offside.
All right, Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. And by the way, that portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare, M1 out. Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. We'll talk Dak Prescott next. It is the Zach Gilb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, my name is PJ Vogt. I host the podcast Search Engine, where every week I hunt down the answers to the questions I can't get out of my head. Like, why are drug dealers poisoning their customers with fentanyl? Or, is my local sushi restaurant a part of an international scam? Or, how sad are the monkeys at the zoo? If you, like me, find this world bewildering, but also sometimes enjoy being bewildered by it, check out the show. On the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So I was reading today that the Cowboys may have already had some early contract extension talks with Dak Prescott. I can't say I'm surprised by this, but I still believe there's an enormous amount of pressure on Dak Prescott entering this season, regardless if he gets the extension or not before that year. Because you look at the Cowboys the last 2 years. They've won 12 games back-to-back years, but then come playoff time, up against the 49ers, I know the 49ers are a great team, they have failed on the offensive side of the ball to get the job done. So you look at the current deal by Prescott, he's supposed to be a free agent by 2025. The problem is, if you move on from Dak Prescott, can you find better? And I do believe you can find better, because Dak, to me, is a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, but that's easier said than done. Because we've seen teams before where they move off of a quarterback that was a good quarterback, and then it takes them for years to find that next guy. Like, you look at two in recent memory. Kirk Cousins. I know Kirk is not this great quarterback, but he was a good quarterback, and the whole franchise tag situation played itself out in D.C. with the Commanders, and then Kirk Cousins goes and signs a bunch of contracts with the Vikings. Have the Commanders ever really found their guys since then? No. And I know now they're going to tell you Sam Howell is their guy. Sam Howell was a fifth-round draft pick. You take a glance at the Niners, even, who have a great roster, offensive line, even though he doesn't love me. Deebo Samuel's really good. You have Christian McCaffrey. You got Kittle. You got Ayuk. And we know all the names that they have on the defensive side of the ball. But you had something that was good with Jimmy G. And I understood it, right? Jimmy G is not a great quarterback. Farthest thing from it. Won a bunch of games. got hurt too many times. After that, they move mountains to go get Trey Lance. They don't believe in Trey Lance anymore. Think about that. They have already, what I think, they have given up on Trey Lance. And sure, Brock Purdy played really well last year, but can Brock Purdy do that over the course of a season? Now, I know, right, it's different with Tom Brady because Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. But Bill Belichick thought it was time to move on from Tom Brady. And you got Cam in there. He was a disaster outside of one good game up against Seattle. And Mac Jones had a good rookie season, and they screwed him over last year because they had Matt Patricia and Joe Judge calling the plays. So just because you say get rid of the quarterback, you may be right in that theory, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to find and like the why you want to do it, but it doesn't mean that you're quickly going to be able to find that next guy. And that's the predicament the Cowboys are in. The rates going right now, salary-wise, for a quarterback, we've seen a lot of good quarterbacks get paid great money. A lot of them. And now, like, Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. But does anyone believe that Dak Prescott is winning a Super Bowl? I don't. And the last 2 years shows you exactly why. Against the Niners 2 years ago, couldn't get the snap off. And then last year, that defense for the Cowboys, they played their ass off against the Niners. They gave a championship quality performance. And Dak, without Tony Pollard, was terrible in that game. So now you got, right, McCarthy and Schottenheimer. You also no longer have Kellen Moore there. And he's not calling the plays anymore because he's with the Chargers. But for the Cowboys this year, they may give Dak an extension before the start of the season because if you think you got a good quarterback, you may as well get the deal done now because if he's in your plans, the price only keeps it going up and up and up. And we've seen that this offseason. And we've seen other, you know, not exactly this one because, right, Jalen Hurts is perceived to be the man. Lamar Jackson's won unanimous MVP. And Justin Herbert is a quarterback that I think the world of. You know, those guys make the market price go up. But like a guy like Kyler Murray, a year ago, should not have got the extension. He did because they thought they had the guy, and now you have a brand new regime in there. With Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury no longer there, and you got Monty Austin for it, and then also the new head coach, you got to creep me out, and Jonathan Gannon running that organization, they have no attachment to him. So you look at Jerry Jones, you know Jerry Jones really likes Dak. They're probably going to get an extension done. And Jerry Jones is actually more patient than what people give him credit for. But if I'm the Cowboys, and I know what I just said, if you have a good quarterback, it's tough to move on, and you probably want to save money and get the deal done now, I would hold off. I really would. Because you look at that Cowboys team, you got CeeDee Lamb, who I think is going to be a good wide receiver. You know, he did a good job adding Brandon Cooks this offseason. You got Michael Gallup now back. Defensively, you just paid Diggs. You just paid, or you're going to pay Micah Parsons. Like, you got some names on this team. The Cowboys have a good roster. But I'm not giving Dak that extension right now because I don't want to hold me down to something if by the end of this year, like, what happens if Dak at the end of this year? Once again, they get into a playoff game. Let's say they win wild card weekend in the divisional round and they lose. It's going to be the same thing. Well, the defense played really well, probably. And then Dak didn't step up and deliver. And if that's the case, you could say, okay, you know, move on from him, which I don't think they would do. But I wouldn't want to put me in a position where if I question Dak for the third year in a row, and he's also had injuries the last few years, and he hasn't performed well in the playoffs, if I question him for the third year in a row after a playoff game, well, you want to a four-year extension coming up for Dak Prescott this offseason? So it's not an easy decision because I don't ultimately think the Cowboys will move on from Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott. So that's probably why the deal will get done. But the main thing is I don't think it's a necessity right now to get this deal done. It is not. Dak wants to be there. The Cowboys for now want him. But even if you pay him and you want him, it doesn't mean that it's going to lead to a title. And if the Cowboys quarterback position were to open up and we've seen guys like Stafford get traded and Brady leave and Rodgers get traded, if there's another disgruntled quarterback at the end of the year, maybe you wait on that. You know, maybe you wait on that in a year or two. Because the Cowboys, if you look around the NFC, I don't think they will be in the playoffs, but on paper, they should be the third best team. When you have the Eagles 1, the Niners 2, and then after that, it's wide open. Like, I take a look at the Lions, the Vikings. You know, I'm more optimistic on Seattle, but there's no third team in the NFC right now that jumps out and you say, wow, that needs to be the team. But you look at the Cowboys, their defense is kick-ass. Their defense is really damn good. And their defense has not been the reason why they've lost in the playoffs to San Francisco the last 2 years. It was just the unorganized sloppiness, dreck of an approach in that game against the Niners 2 years ago when Jimmy Garoppolo was trying to gift wrap you the game. And then this past year, once Tony Pollard goes down, like, Dak was a deer in headlights. Dak is under some of the most pressure entering this year in the NFL. And sometimes we define pressure in multiple ways and it's ambiguous. You know, sometimes it could be you could lose your job. And I don't think Dak's going to lose his job at the end of the year. But other times, there's pressure to win. And this NFC, it's open. Like, sure, we feel really good about the Eagles. I do. The Niners, doesn't matter who the quarterback is, it feels like they wake up each and every year under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in the NFC title game. But one of those teams go down, Dallas better find a way, and I don't believe they will, but Dallas better find a way for the first time since the 1995 season to bare minimum be an NFC title game. And I can't sit here and tell you that I'm all that confident that Dak's going to be the guy that gets the job done. Dak's good, not great. We've seen good quarterbacks before win a Super Bowl, but there's no excuses for Dak this year. You have enough pieces to get the NFC title game, but I just don't believe in the quarterback when you need him to show up. In all likelihood, they do probably get a deal done at some point. It probably will even be, I'm not going to say a lock before the start of the season, but there's a chance of it happening. But with 2 years left on that deal, this year and next year, and he becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2025, I'm not making any long-term commitments right now. I just would not do so because you don't want to pigeonhole yourself if things go really the opposite way this year. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. When we come on back, the second-year general manager of the New York Football Giants, Joe Shane, will join us.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're getting closer and closer to week one of the NFL season, and we're very excited. So let's head out to the hotline right now and welcome in the second-year general manager for the New York Football Giants, and that, of course, is Joe Shane. Joe, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me. Look forward to it.
Yeah, I always appreciate when you come on. So let me start you off. I know you guys are getting ready for the first preseason game later on in the week, and then before you know it, week one will be here up against the Cowboys. But you guys made a nice first impression last season. When you look back at last year, what are really the memories that come back to mind and how you reflect on what the Giants accomplished?
Yeah, it was a great season. You know, obviously starting off with the first win in Tennessee, that is a great memory for ours. You know, Dave's went for it down there, went for two to take the lead, and so that was a great start to the season. And then, you know, we obviously got off to a fast start. So just the job that, you know, we did as an organization, from the coaching staff, the personnel staff, from bringing players in that were brought in as depth players, and they had to eventually graduate up to starters, and the job that the coaches did from a scheme standpoint with the players that we had, and game management, execution, and scheme, and just organizationally, you know, it was an outstanding year, and it was because there were a lot of good people in the right seats, and you know, that did a really good job at executing their job responsibilities at a high level.
No one ever knows how year one will go. For you, it surprised a lot of people, but did it surprise you that you guys ended up making that run to a divisional round weekend in the NFL?
Yeah, I would say the fast start probably surprised me more than anything, and you know, that really helped build confidence. But you know, I've been in this you know, I've had a little bit of experience with startups from, you know, my second year in the league. We hired John Fox, and, you know, his second year we went to the Super Bowl. I went down to Miami, and Tony Sperano, you know, his first year went to the playoffs, and Adam Gase went to the playoffs his first year. Sean McDermott went to the playoffs his first year. So I've seen it done quite a few times, and then Dave's did it here his first time. So I've been part of those year one builds with new coaching staffs and was able to reflect on, you know, how those builds took place and what it looked like. And so, yeah, I was a little bit, you know, early on, you're not really sure how things are going to turn out, but I've seen it done several times before and kind of stuck with the blueprint that, you know, I'd seen before with some of the different organizations.
And you know how this works. Once you make a big impression, people expect you to improve the following season. A bare minimum improvement would then be going from the divisional round to conference championship weekend. When you look around this team in training camp, Joe, do you think you have a shot to be playing the NFC title game this year?
Yeah, I'm not gonna go that far. We're just right now. Every team's different, and you know what we did in 2022 was great, but that's in the past. And you know the 2023 New York Giants are gonna have to build their own identity, our own chemistry, and you know we're working on that right now at training camp, coming together with some of the new pieces we have. What do they do best? And you know the coaching staff does a great job of putting players in position to accentuate their strengths and how that fits in our scheme. So. You know, not going to make any, you know, how many games we're going to win or where we're going to go. We're just right now we're focused on, you know, trying to get the best 53 on the roster, understand the guys that we have on our team and what they're going to do best. And once we come up with the right 53 and, you know, we start to build that chemistry and bond, you know, we'll see how far we can take it.
Fair enough. Joe Shane here with us. I know you paid Daniel Jones this offseason, but what did he show you? What did you learn about your quarterback last year?
Yeah, ultimately that guy, his job is to win games, and he did that for us last year. And he had, you know, some fourth quarter comebacks early on in the year. He's got the size, he's got the arm strength, he's athletic. You know, he can gain yards with his feet. He can, you know, make all the throws, and he carried the team when it mattered most in the fourth quarter. And you know, like I said, he had those comebacks. He had a playoff win on the road and played really well. And again, he's got all the physical talent. He's wired the right way. He's one of the hardest workers on the team. And, you know, when you take the traits that he has along with his habits, you know, I think there's a high ceiling there. And the continuity of the staff and, you know, having Kafka back again year two as his offensive coordinator and, you know, the addition of guys like Darren Waller and Jalen Hyatt and, you know, Campbell and some of the other guys that we brought in, you know, just going to really get to see what he can do this year. Again, it was a little bit of a revolving door last year, and he was still able to you know, perform at a high level despite the constant change at receiver or tight end or whatever it may have been due to injuries. And he was a very steady presence out there for us.
Yeah, and I like the structure of the contract. I know some people look at it and go, $40 million a year, does he actually deserve it? But I like the way that you guys structured the deal. What do you say to people? I know you just praise Jones a lot, but that go, you know what, I'm still skeptical on Daniel Jones, and I doubt what the Giants did this offseason with him.
Yeah, I think we'll see. I think you'll see this season. Again, I've got a lot of confidence in Daniel and our coaching staff and the weapons that we've added. And again, we still got to come together as a group, and we're working on it now because there are new pieces. But the good thing is I think the biggest thing for Daniel is just the continuity of the staff, the understanding of the offense, the ability to execute at a high level. And then you upgrade some of the talent around him, you know, I think you're going to see the best version of Daniel Jones this year.
And I love the move that you made to get Darren Waller, just a phenomenal tight end. The only concern is, can he stay healthy? What have been your early impressions getting to see Darren Waller up close and personal?
Yeah, it's been great to be around Darren. I mean, he's a tremendous worker since the day he got here. He's in here all the time. He's working hard. He's picked up the offense. Very smart, very talented, versatile the way we can use him. So, he's been a great addition this far. We're excited to see what he can do when we get to the regular season. But he's been great since he's been here. And you know, again, we're just excited for him to assimilate into the offense. And you know, him and Daniel have had a good rapport this far, and look forward to that continue to grow.
Joe Shane, we all know the presence a tight end can play. We've seen it with Gronk and Travis Kelce be number one weapons for the Patriots and Chiefs, leading to multiple championships. I remember when you guys were in Buffalo, you ended up getting Josh Allen a number one weapon in the great receiver in Stephon Diggs. Is this move, trading for Waller, comparable to what you guys did in Buffalo, even though Darren clearly isn't a wide receiver?
Yeah, no, I think so. And when we looked at the market, like who was available for a trade, what was the draft going to look like? You know, I know a lot of the people have been harping on us about a number one receiver. Yeah, like I think you could, if you have a weapon like Waller, whether it's a number one receiver or number one tight end, that can just change the way you do things. And yeah, I think he's got a chance to be a dominant player in this league. And again, we've got to come together and mesh as an offensive unit. We'll see what that looks like, but the talent's absolutely there.
How do you evaluate the rest of the receiving room when you get to just solely the receivers?
Yeah, I think we have some good players there with versatile skill sets, whether it's Darius Slayton and his ability to stretch the field, you know, adding Jalen Hyatt, who can also stretch the field, and both those guys can also run routes. Isaiah Hodgins came in for us late last year and, you know, performed at a high level for us. You know, the addition of Paris Campbell from Indianapolis, you know, had a good year, you know, for them last year, and we got to see him firsthand late in the year, and, you know, he was a good player from there. We have Wandell Robinson coming back off the ACL. He'll be probably returning to practice here in a week or so we're excited about him. Daniel Bellinger in year two. Then the running back room, Saquon Barkley and those guys. So there's going to be some weapons, and you just got to figure out how we're going to, you know, again, how it's going to all come together, you know, week one versus Dallas, and we're working towards that. But I'm excited about the group we have.
When you got Hodgins, and I know that you were familiar with him during your time with the Bills, did you guys know that you had, like, this hidden secret, or did his play kind of surprise you guys as well?
Yeah, Hodgins was a guy that always, you know, again, he made plays for us in practice in Buffalo, and then, you know, again, where they were with their group, and, you know, it comes to special teams when you're taking, you know, so many receivers to the game, and, you know, Isaiah wasn't doing a lot on special teams for him, so I think that's probably why he came free, and, you know, again, he had familiarity with our offense, and, you know, we knew he was our type of guy, and, you know, Dave's familiarity with him, so when he became available, you know, we put the claim in for him. It was a no-brainer for us.
Joe Shane here with us, the second-year general manager of the New York Football Giants. You guys are starting to have foundational pieces on this team, and you're taking care of them. One of those players, Andrew Thomas, you guys gave a big contract to and was well-deserved, was a second-team All-Pro last year. Joe, I don't know how much you pay attention to these lists. Did you see that he wasn't on the NFL Top 100 list? Because I couldn't believe that one.
I did, yeah. I was surprised to see that. Yeah, again, a young player, you know, he's a great kid, you know, he's a pro, he's still 24 and a half, you know, athletic, it's hard to find these left tackles, and, you know, he played at a high level for us last year, so yeah, I was definitely surprised to see that he wasn't on that top 100 list.
And I remember the first time we talked, you expressed how you really got to build through the trenches, and we've seen now Thomas, right, what Evan Neal has been able to do, but on the other side of the ball, I know Dexter Lawrence got paid, and I know that he is considered to be a great player, but I still feel like Dexter, Joe, is underrated around the NFL.
Yeah, boy, not for us. After seeing him out here for the first 8-9 days of training camp, holy cow, I feel bad for some of our interior guys having to go against him on a daily basis. But another great kid that works hard. Man, he's a load in there. So, yeah, I mean, He was a good player last year, played at a high level. I was glad we were able to get something done with him. And, you know, again, it's, you know, known commodities like Andrew Thomas, Dexter, you know, Daniel, whoever it may be, you know, you eliminate the margin for error when you're around the kids every day. You know how they work. You know their injury history. You know what they're about. And, you know, that just makes those decisions easier.
And he's an absolute mauler on the football field. There's been some comparisons to Aaron Donald. I'll say this, though. He seems like Dexter Lawrence, and you know him better than I do, clearly, like the nicest person off the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Don't let him fool you, though. He's got a switch. He can flip the switch.
All right, I got to ask you about Saquon Barkley. So the deadline comes and goes of July 17th. You didn't get the long-term deal done, and then you found a way shortly after that to make something work to get him back in the building. I was shocked that you guys were able to get something done so quickly and didn't have to miss any of training camp. How'd that come together?
Yeah, I think it's just a reflection of the kid. Like, Saquon wanted to be here. He's been a big part of this organization. He's an unbelievable teammate, an unbelievable leader. And at the end of the day, you know, he made the decision that he wanted to be here, and we were ecstatic that, you know, that he could be here at the start of camp. So I'm glad the way it worked out. You know, our relationship's good. The relationship with all of his teammates, coaches, everything. Didn't miss a beat. And, you know, he's had a really good camp thus far.
With how much work that was put into it on both sides, was it frustrating to not get a long-term deal done?
Yeah, I think any time, whether it's a minimum salary guy or, a guy of Saquon's stature. You know, it's a competitive, we're all competitive and you want to get something done and you're trying to do what's best for the organization and he's trying to do what's best for his family. And there's, I know this is highly publicized, but there's a lot of deals that don't get done, whether it's, it could be with our coaching staff. It can be with players. I mean, this happens all the time. It's life. I'm sure you've been through negotiations that, maybe didn't get done or you didn't get what you think you should get. And everybody goes through it on a daily basis. And sometimes they don't get done. And, like I said, in my press conference, that's okay. You know, we're still in a good spot. The relationship's good and we're looking forward to Saquon having a really good season.
The shelf life of a running back, this has been well publicized and the state of the league and paying running back is always tricky. When you look at Saquon, even though you didn't get a long-term deal done this time, do you still kind of look at him and say, this is a guy that is going to be here for a while with the Giants?
Yeah, we'll see what the season holds. Like we haven't had those conversations. Obviously we're just coming off of getting into camp, but we'll let it play out. We'll have those conversations down the road, but we think the world of Saquon on the field, off the field, in the locker room, all that stuff is important to us. And, we'll let it play out and, see where we are at the end of the season.
Last thing I'll ask you, Joe Shane, the Buffalo Bills organization very well, your time there with Brandon Bean. You also got a chance to know DeMar Hamlin. That was one of the scariest things I've ever seen on a football field that Monday night late in the year. Now to see him back on the field and making plays in training camp, just what are your feelings being able to see something that many of us thought would never happen?
Yeah, I mean, you just saying that gives me chills. I mean, he's such a great kid. I was there when we drafted him. And to see his ascension, he's a backup year one and then, starting some games year two. And I was super proud of the kid. And then, to see what happened on the field there, nobody ever wants to see that. And obviously a lot of prayers were answered. And for him to be where he is right now from that day on the field is just, it's unbelievable. It's a true blessing. And, I'm ecstatic for him and in the organization. And the training staff did a phenomenal job there. I know all those guys personally. And they're one of the best in the league, and it showed that evening.
Joe, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Appreciate it. Take care.
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.
This is it. It's what you've been waiting for.
Billions returns to bring us the most epic showdown yet to a brand new streaming home on Paramount Plus.
We're back, baby!
We've got a fantastic story this season.
Buckle up. Bobby's back.
We're bringing the fight to Axe.
Everyone gets caught in the crossfire.
There's exciting stuff coming.
And now that Axe is coming back, the final showdown can begin.
This is the Good News Express Flammable.
Return to the all-access world of the rich and powerful. Don't miss new episodes of Billions, streaming August 4th on the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.